This is Cincinnati Edition. On 91.7 WVXU, I'm Michael Monks. You can barely tap a keg without the explosion of suds landing on some new brewery in Cincinnati or Northern Kentucky. Craft beer has a large following in our region, and many entrepreneurs are finding success in capitalizing on that and reigniting Cincinnati's historic love affair with brewing. Today, we'll talk about how the current trend is a reflection of the city's past. But first, do you like craft beer? Does it intimidate you because it's not a brand you've seen advertised at Super Bowls over the years, or isn't the same beer you've enjoyed for decades on the weekends? I recently visited one of the newer local breweries to get some ideas on how an experience goes for a first-timer. That's one of the many sounds of beer being made at Westside Brewing. The craft brewery opened in Westwood in 2017. Joe Mumper is one of the brewery's founders. He says every time Westside fires up its brewing system to craft a beer, the team will get about 30 kegs at a time.
The brewing process is typically a day-long process. 4 hours or so of active brewing. There's some setup and some cleanup at the end. After you brew a beer, it goes into a fermentation tank. So if you're ever in a brewery and see a tank with a conical bottom, those are fermentation tanks. For most ales, they ferment for 2 weeks. A lager is more like 4 to 6 weeks. And so that's where it becomes alcohol.
Mumper says Westside has been popular and is finding its place in a region full of relatively new breweries. He says people like local.
You know, all things equal, people prefer drinking something local, just like they prefer, you know, listen to a local radio program. You know, people prefer local and supporting small businesses. So that's a big part of it.
During our visit, Mumper's words appeared to be true. We ran into native Westsider Todd Collins, who was drinking a Scottish ale, with Megan Rice, who was sipping a stout.
I'm one of the Westsiders who moved outside of the West Side, and I enjoy getting back here from time to time. And since we were over here, we decided that we would come by and enjoy a beverage on the West Side.
I do enjoy the atmosphere. I like that it's nice and big and airy, fresh vibe, fresh energy, and I love stouts, and to me, this is a great stout and a great atmosphere.
Westside Brewing operates in a renovated building near Westwood Town Hall and features what has become typical of brewery atmospheres, table games, darts, TVs, and a crowd of beer fans. But Mumper says even if you're just trying craft beer for the first time, don't feel embarrassed or scared.
Westside Brewing and really every brewery in town is going to have a bartending staff that'll help them out. So, you know, I know we will give someone almost unlimited tastes. So we have, I think, 15 or 16 beers on tap right now. If someone wants to taste all of them, we'll let them taste all of them. So we want someone to buy a beer they're going to enjoy.
Beer fan Todd Collins has some advice, too. He suggests buying a flight, or roughly 6 smaller beers to try out in one sitting.
The easiest way for a newbie to get to experience what each one of the breweries has is just to do a flight. Get a flight, try everything. It's only a few ounces, so you can stomach through even the things that you don't necessarily like. But you'll have an opportunity to find something that's really tasteful to you that will challenge you to get outside your comfort zones of drinking the ordinary beers.
Mumper is so committed to customers' comfort that he doesn't like referring to Westside Brewing with a term I use throughout the visit.
We actually don't love using the term craft. I think that can scare people off a little bit. We're just a brewery. It's just beer.
It's just beer. Our thanks to Joe Mumper and Westside Brewing for letting me hang out there for a while. So let's talk more about beer. Joining Cincinnati Edition today are Mike Morgan. He is the founder and president of Queen City History and Education, curator of the Brewing Heritage Trail, and author of Over the Rhine, When Beer Was King. He's also the author of Cincinnati Beer, his newest book. Welcome, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
Chair and professor in the Brewing Science Department at Cincinnati State Technical and Community College and co-founder of the blog Hopperatives, Carla Giselle Streeter. Welcome, Carla.
Glad to be here.
And the director of brewing operations at Urban Artifact Brewery, Brett Coleman. He's on the phone. Thanks for joining us, Brett.
Thanks for having me.
So, Mike, let's start with you because you literally wrote the books about Cincinnati's brewing history. So
I did indeed.
What does brewing mean to this city?
It's huge. There's really no industry that has had a larger impact on Cincinnati than beer. So we hear that term porkopolis a lot, and in the very early city, pork was a big thing, but beer really defined this city like nothing else. So it's it's a really great time that we're living in now to see this resurgence of not only beer, but of good beer.
So how did it all start here? I imagine the German roots have something to do with it.
The German roots are what we're best known for, and that is what definitely propelled Cincinnati into being this city that was recognized worldwide for its beer. But it started before that. And one of the things that I've done in this book, Cincinnati Beer, is look at those very early days. So there was actually a brewery here called the Walker Brewery. Those guys brewed nothing but porters, Scottish ales, English-style ales, and they were the first brewery that made Cincinnati famous for beer. So before we became this big German lager town, we actually were known nationwide for our porters and ales.
Porters and ales.
Yeah.
And Brett, you're with one of the local breweries, Urban Artifact. And now that we have so many around the region, we heard earlier how I visited Westside Brewing in Westwood. How does your operation fit into the scene in your eyes?
Well, we stand out from a lot of the local and even regional breweries in that all we brew is sour beer, which is a whole other niche within craft and independent beer. And we really focus on modernizing and reviving old beer techniques and beer styles and kind of bringing them to a modern palate. And it is really complementary to the scene here in Cincinnati, which is, as far as relatively new modern beer scenes go, with the taproom law that changed in 2012, allowing breweries to have taprooms in the state of Ohio, Cincinnati exploded. And there's a lot of breweries like Westside who brews a lot of different styles, or Rheingeist or Mad Tree. And then there's also your neighborhood breweries like Fibonacci up in Mount Healthy. So we decided that since we neither wanted to be a brewery that brewed every style, nor we wanted to be a small neighborhood brewery, we wanted to get big and regional and national, we decided that the best bet for us was to brew what we love and focus solely on that, and that was sour beers.
So coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about some of these terms that you hear at craft breweries, and our guests will help us understand them better. But since you've said this, Brett, I want to know right away, what is a sour beer?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's basically any beer that has a noticeable level of acidity to it. So much like when you bite into, if you've ever bitten into a lemon or a lime and it's extremely tart, it's somewhere in between a lime and regular beer in terms of acidity. So akin to like Sour Patch Kids or some other candy along sour candy like that, it really helps accentuate certain fruity flavors in beer. And it's really just nice and bright and thirst quenching.
And so there's a big enough market for that, for your operation to sustain itself around that idea.
Yes. And it's small and it's a niche within a niche, but it's growing. And Cincinnatians 4 years ago when we first opened were very hesitant, but they've really come to embrace us, and it's been great. We've been growing exponentially every year. It's really fantastic.
Carla, beer is so important in Cincinnati that you now oversee an educational program that's
yep.
devoted to it at Cincinnati State. How does that program work?
We actually have an Associate of Applied Science and a degree, and then also a one-year certificate. The degree is in brewing science, and in fact, Brett is one of our adjunct instructors. And then the certificate is brewing sales and marketing, because I always like to point out, once you brew the beer, somebody has to sell and market it. And we already have 5 graduates of the certificate. We'll have about a dozen graduates of the degree coming up. I'm proud to say Westside Brewery employs Carly Booth, who is one of our students. And what's interesting is most of our students come to us with some college. I've got about 10 that have masters. I've got 3 who have PhDs, including a pharmacist. And we have about 20 veterans. And so you have to be 21 to be in the program. So already our age is higher than most college students. But that experience that we get from people means our average age is over 30.
Are these folks who all want careers in the brewing industry, or are they people who might like a little home brew? What's the story?
We have some folks that are mainly interested in upping their home brew game. But even them, they're talking about maybe working part-time at a local brewery. Anybody familiar with Cincinnati State knows that experiential learning and co-op is important. And I'm very pleased that a lot of our students came with jobs already in brewing, but the ones who did co-op last summer, almost all of them were asked to stay on in some capacity because they work so well at the breweries they were at. And one thing we're lucky about in Cincinnati is you've got everything from like a Fibonacci style to up to Rheingeist, Sam Adams. And so there's something, a good fit for just about everybody.
So you mentioned that you have students who have masters. You even have a pharmacist who's in the program. Mm-hmm. So when you go to college, you run into professors who have a background in this industry, some type of education in the field. Who are you? What's your background in order to be qualified to do this?
Well, part of it is the fact that my husband and I started the Hopperative's website 10 years ago, actually almost 11 now. And we started that in 2009. And when we started that, there were four breweries and one brew pub in town. And quickly, within a year or so, and that's about the time I met Mike, we noticed how much it was growing. And I was already at Cincinnati State. I was the chair of the communication department. And I started bugging our administration going, okay, you say community colleges are supposed to be nimble. This is time we need to be nimble. And then I got a sabbatical in 2014. I went to four different schools that were teaching brewing already, three down in North Carolina, one in Ontario. And then I talked to every single brewery and distributor in town. It wasn't as many as now, so it didn't take as long as it would now. But it was interesting. Yeah, September of 2014, Rheingeist had 34 employees. They now have, I think, almost 400, something like that. And so it's one of those things, because we get, I'm sure Mike gets it too, oh, well, it's the bubbles bursting and things like that. I'm like, people are going to still drink beer, and the ones that are existing and doing well are still going to get bigger and need more employees. And that's where we come in.
And that's the role that community colleges kind of carve out for themselves, is there's an industry that might be growing. Usually you hear it in the context of advanced manufacturing around
right.
here. So people are training. A lot of times they're working and apprenticing yep. alongside yep. of their educational courses. And so that's driving the rise of this program.
Oh, definitely. And that's what we talk about. It's funny, when I was doing my first research into this, somebody pointed out that brewing is the ultimate STEM major. Because you do, you cover science, technology, engineering, and math. And we work with, and especially when we bring in the sales and marketing. So we're also working with graphics and all different kinds of areas, and we're looking at, we now have a supply chain degree at Cincinnati State and how that works in with Cincinnati State. It all comes together. It touches just about everybody.
Well, I haven't taken Carla's class, so I don't know a lot of these words. Maybe I can't define lager or ale or porter or IPA, and we're going to work on what those all mean. Coming up, we've got more Cincinnati beer conversation just ahead. Plus, drinking is not for everyone. So also coming up, what it means to be, quote, sober curious. It's a growing trend among millennials. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. What's your favorite local beer? There are lots to choose from. How is the current rise of craft breweries in Cincinnati reflective of the city's distinct history of brewing? Let's continue now with local beer author Mike Morgan, Cincinnati State Brewing Professor Carla Gisell Streeter, and Urban Artifact Director of Brewing Brett Coleman. Carla, I'd heard you mention this before, and I want to open this up to the panel here, is you said bubble, and that's something that gets floated around a lot when we talk about all these breweries that are brewing around the region. Is there too many? So let's ask. I mean, Mike,
yes.
Is there too many?
as a beer drinker, absolutely not. I think it's spectacular. But when you look at the history of brewing, at our peak as a city, we had 36 breweries. And from a size standpoint, they were a little bit different, but not radically different than right now. So we currently, depending on how you count them and what you count as Greater Cincinnati or beyond it, you know, we're somewhere in the 50 to 60 brewery range. So we're in completely unprecedented territory. And people are still, we're drinking a lot more beer, but we are still not drinking as much beer per capita as we were at that period of time when we had 36 breweries. So, you know, I wish all of them the best, and I hope that this is sustainable, and I hope that we change how we drink. But we're in completely unprecedented territory.
In your book, Cincinnati Beer, did I read that that peak of 36 breweries was, that was like pre-Civil War?
Yeah, that was 1860.
So 1860, and now, you know, is the population different? I mean, don't we have like a per capita thing that...
Population is pretty comparable to, yeah.
And Brett, let's get your comment on that. I mean, you're involved here. You seem to have carved out a corner, and that might protect you if there is such a thing as a bubble, I suppose. But what are the thoughts in the local industry about a bubble?
I think you can never have too many neighborhood-sized breweries and taprooms. There's always going to be the need for that. I don't think this country or this city or this region can support a lot more regional sized breweries. So I think Rheingeist and Madtree have that cornered for our region. And if you look across the trends across the country right now, the regional sized breweries are actually starting to consolidate and form conglomerates in order to, you know, better utilize their resources. So I think that's going to keep happening. That trend, I think, is only going to continue the next 5 to 10 years. But, you know, I think Cincinnati could support 30, 40, 50 more neighborhood breweries. Why not?
So what does it take for a brewery, Brett, to craft its own identity and find its own importance and relevance in a community in addition to crafting good beer?
That is extremely difficult because the craft beer drinker currently is fickle. Brand loyalty isn't what it was in the 50s and 60s. It's kind of a thing of the past. The drinker is promiscuous. So to me, the ultimate key for long-term success and sustainability is finding a niche. And for us, that's through our beer. But it doesn't have to be. Someone like, we mentioned Fibonacci earlier. So someone like Fibonacci, they've dug their roots really deep in their community, and they've become a pillar of Mount Healthy. That, to me, is finding a niche and growing it. And Westside's the same way. So... for the long-term success, you can't just be another brewery without any ties to your neighborhood or out any specialization within your beer, because that's been done. And there's other people who are probably doing it as well or better than you that have been around longer. So if you really want to make a splash, to me, you got to find how you fit into the puzzle, and you got to stay authentic.
I'm curious about the number of females who are working in this industry. Do you have a lot in your class at Cincinnati State?
We've got about 25 to 30% are female, and we encourage all of them to join Pink Boot Society, which is a national, actually international organization for women in the brewing industry. And our Cincinnati chapter is doing quite well and getting better and better all the time. And yeah, we're trying to do that. That's one of the things I've always said at Cincinnati State is I'm working to try to make the brewing industry a little bit more diverse. And so whatever we can do, I'm happy to say our first international student is halfway through his program, and he's from Nepal. I would have never dreamed our first international student would be from Nepal. But we're doing whatever we can, trying to make things more active, get people involved. We've got some of our culinary students who now can take our intro to craft beer class to get an idea. And so the people think not just wine dinners all the time. Let's talk about beer dinners and cider dinners and hard seltzer dinners. And yeah.
Mike, was there any role for women in the brewing industry historically?
Historically, not so much. And in fact, it's kind of shameful when you look back on the history of brewing in the city. There have been several times that women have found themselves as the head of brewers, usually because the husband passed away. And several of those women appear to have been competent business people, but it was the 19th century, so they weren't really taken seriously. And every one of them was really sabotaged to some extent. So it's a very positive, exciting thing to see women coming into a profession that has been very male-dominated for a long time.
Brett, what's the story to Urban Artifact? Do you have some females in the brewing part of this operation?
We actually don't. We have five full-time employees that are not owners in the production, and sadly to say that it is all male-dominated. And we are Queen City certified at the silver level, and we are actually about 50-50 female-to-male split in total for our business. But if we're talking strictly operations, it's pretty male-heavy. And it's that way across the industry.
Sure.
It's great to see people like Carla and Pink Boots Society and the drive and strive to get more diversity in the industry to happen. And yeah.
So Mike, we hear about this program at Cincinnati State, but historically, how did people train to get into the industry?
Well, that's a great question. You know, historically, when we go back to the 19th century, a lot of those people were trained in Germany, here in Cincinnati. You know, that's when the brewing really took off, but some of them were just self-educated as well. So it's not that far from what we do today to some extent, where you have a lot of home brewers that eventually become professional brewers. So it was relatively similar across the decades.
And Brett, what type of training do your professional full-time brewers have?
It depends. I'm the only one with a brewing science degree, but everybody else on the team has some sort of higher education. Everybody's Cicerone certified, which is like sommelier, but for beer. We actually do have a sommelier on staff as well. And I believe about half of our brewing team right now is working on a degree through the Institute of Brewing and Distilling out of London.
Okay, well, let's take a course now. I'd like to learn a few things about being a little more sophisticated. And I do go to some of the breweries, but I never know what I'm doing. I just try to point at something light and hope for the best. But I'd like to be more sophisticated, if not to pose, to actually know something. So let's learn something now. We talked about this in the opening package. You know, there are beer enthusiasts who really know their stuff when they go to a local brewery. And then there are newcomers. The advice earlier was to order a flight and sample a whole bunch of stuff. What advice do you all have for the folks who may have been nervous to try local beer, but do finally step into a place for the first time? And we'll start with you, Mike.
Ordering a flight is a great way to start with any brewery. But you also need to begin with an understanding of what you like and why you like it. And there are four basic ingredients in every beer. Water constitutes constitutes 90 to 95% of a beer. But you really shouldn't taste the water. Malt is another key ingredient. Hops, another key ingredient. And yeast, another key ingredient. Most beers are going to be driven by one of those later three ingredients. All beers have those ingredients in them. But some beers really let the malt shine through. Those beers tend to be, they're frequently sweeter beers. They're often darker beers. Those are beers more like ambers and porters and stouts. Beers that let the hops really shine through, IPAs are your best example, pale ales as well. And then there are varieties like Hefeweizens that really let the yeast shine. A lot of what Brett does at Artifact is all about the yeast. A lot of Belgian beers are really about the yeast. So you need to understand as a beer consumer who you are. There are hop heads out there in the world, and there are hop haters in the world. And they're all perfectly fine people. But some people gravitate much more to those beers that are malt-driven, and some people gravitate much more to the hop-driven beers. Yeah. I'm a confessed hophead, but I love beers across the board. But you have to start with that beer. Just start with what you identify with, what is easiest, most palatable for you to start with, and you can expand from there.
Carla, what's your advice?
A couple different things. I always, when we do tastings in my class, we always have the two taste rule. Don't just taste it once. You need to taste it at least twice, and preferably taste it again then with food. Food can change the taste of beer quite a bit, and so you need to do that. Another one is, it's amazing to me how many people freak out at the color of a beer. Oh, that's too dark. It's going to be too heavy, too high in alcohol. And I'm like, no, this is Shiner Bock. This is not any of those things. You need to go ahead and give it a try. The other one I have, and this works for Brett's brewery, is people who are, say, oh, I like wine, I'm not going to like beer. Try a sour. Sours are a great way for people who are into wine to get into beer.
All right, Brett, so let's say I don't know what a sour is, and you learned that about me earlier in the show. I walk into your brewery. What do you tell me?
Well, Carla hit the nail on the head there with the three-sip rule, or the two-sip rule. That first sip is, especially with sour beers, it might come as a shock to you and your palate. And that second sip, it finally lets you kind of open up a little bit. Your taste buds are used to it. Your cranial nerve is starting to relax again after that first sip. Your mouth is watering a little bit. And then by the time you have your third sip, you're really starting to taste the complexities and understand what the beer is all about. And it no longer feels aggressively sour. It now feels palatable and thirst quenching. That ties in well with, I always suggest people get a pint as well. Like, do the flight, pick one you like. But to really dive into a beer and fully understand the experience of what you're drinking, an entire pint is the way to go. And this is what led to the whole New Coke debacle back in the 80s, was in taste tests between Coke and Pepsi. Pepsi continued to win because it's sweeter. But when you actually have a whole can of cola, people always picked Coca-Cola because it actually drinks better over the course of 12 ounces. And I suggest that as well for anyone going anywhere to try something new.
Man, I would like a craft soda about right now. Is there any place to get those things? Let's do the lightning round. Mike, what is a lager?
Lager is all about the yeast that's used in the beer. So lager is actually, you know, as Carla just mentioned, you can have a very dark lager. You can have a lager that's black. So really the distinction between a lager and an ale is all about the yeast. This idea that a lager always means it's a very light-bodied beer, that's erroneous. So that's one of the things that people have to really kind of understand out of the gate.
Carlo, what is an ale?
An ale is, if lagers are the yeast ferments on the bottom, ales ferments on the top. Again, it's a wide, wide variety of different beers, but that's the main difference.
And Brett? I understand within the ale category, there's something called a pale ale. Can you help us understand what that might be?
Yes, a pale ale is light in color, usually between 4.5 to 6% alcohol, around 30 IBUs or so. So it's moderately bitter, but not as bitter as an IPA. And it's really become a distinctly American style. So it's nice hop aromas, thirst quenching with a little bit of bitterness to help balance any malt sweetness.
Carly, he said it, the next one, and I hear this term a lot in the craft beering world, is IPA, and I have no idea what it is.
It comes from India Pale Ale, and there's lots of, we learn in beer and beer history that there's a lot of, well, that means because they packed the beer with a lot of hops to send it from, you know, the Great Britain to India, and there's some, maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but that's where it comes from.
What's a porter, Mike?
Porter is a style that originated in the 1700s in England, and porters and stouts now, they're very similar.
Okay, stout was the next one, so go ahead and take that one too.
With those beers, you're going to get a lot of coffee flavor frequently. Chocolate is kind of a common thing that you find in porters and stouts as well. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks
great
for
winter beers.
Helping me with that. I feel like I've learned a lot so far. Let's start to wrap this up. We've just got a little bit left. And Mike, in addition to writing this book, you also teach a course called Hops in History over at the University of Cincinnati.
That's correct.
And we've already established that Carla teaches at Cincinnati State. So we've got some educators here who may understand the history of brewing in Cincinnati. And when people think about American beer, the cities that might top the list are Milwaukee, St. Louis, those types of places. Should Cincinnati be better known than those places? I'll let you guys weigh in on that.
I think absolutely so. And I don't know about better, but it definitely belongs in that trilogy. I mean, it's the fact that Cincinnati has been left out of major brewing cities. It has to do with our 20th century history. We were played a very important role in brewing worldwide. And I think we're coming back as a very well-respected brewing city.
And what are your thoughts, Carla?
When I did my sabbatical in 2014 and I went to see the other schools, it was amazing. They would say, well, yeah, we got a lot of people coming to visit us, but you're from Cincinnati. Yeah, Cincinnati needs a brewing school.
And now they have it. All right. My thanks to author Mike Morgan, Cincinnati State Brewing Professor Carla Gesell-Streeter, and Urban Artifact Director of Brewing Brett Coleman. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate the conversation with all of you. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstrow. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at wvxu.org.